when I was growing up, one of my high school friends is what you would have called the spoiled child. He was an only child of older parents. And as I got to thinking about that, he may have had an older brother or sister, but it was like 20 years older. And so they were out of the house by the time he was born, so he was like an only child. But anyway, I don't think his parents ever said no to him. Okay, when we were in high school, I was driving a 73 Ford Maverick. It wasn't mine. It was my dad's. And the check engine light was always on. And if you started out on an incline, you would be lucky to hit 50 miles an hour before you crested the hill. My friend had a 78 Camaro with a really nice stereo and a really nice 8-track player, for all you guys that are old enough to remember 8-tracks. Now, that was when he was in high school. When he graduated, he got a new Camaro. So he got the 82 Camaro when he graduated. Basically, anything he wanted, he would get. He had all the 8-tracks of all the hottest rock bands back then. And he had, you know, a telescope, not like the JCPenney cheap telescope. He had like the nice, really expensive telescope and just all kinds of stuff like that. And he didn't have a job, but he got an allowance that's probably paid him more than a job would have anyway. And he could just come and go at home as he wanted. He didn't have a curfew. And for all that he had gotten from his folks and all the freedom he had, he was just really pretty rude to them. He didn't respect them at all. Now, I will say he grew out of that eventually. At some point, I think life happened to him and he realized, everything wasn't what he thought it was. But it was just like, you know, when I was in high school, in our little group that hung out together, he was one of them, we wish we had it as good as the Camaro guy. You know, and it's like, God, could you just give me a little part of what he's got? And it didn't happen. God, what's up? Right? Ask and it will be given. And I wasn't given. And I know I treated my folks better than he treated his folks. So what's going on there? I wasn't given. It's like, what do we do with that? When we have a verse like we have today, which on its own sounds like Jesus will give us anything we want if we're just persistent enough, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. What do we do with that? Now, you know, there are churches that will teach that Jesus will just give you basically whatever you want. That if you don't have something you've prayed for, then you just don't have enough faith because God wants to give it to you. You just need to have enough faith to believe that God's already given it to you. Then you can just name it and you can claim it because God's promised it to you. He can't go back against his own promise. And you know, Mark 11:24 doesn't really help out with this. In Mark 11:24, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. It will be yours. What do we do with that? Well, the problem is a lot of times we take those verses, and any verse we can do this to, we take it on their own without interpreting them within the context in which they're written and against even the rest of Scripture. And if we'll take that one verse by itself and just try to make a principle out of that without looking at why Jesus said it and the context it's there, well, you can make the Bible say just about anything you want. And you make the Bible say a lot of things it really doesn't say. And a lot of us know people who are in horrid situations. And maybe you're going through something that's just, it's devastating right now. It's a severe illness or an injury or a divorce, or there's a severe stress on your relationship, and you've prayed and you've prayed, but you've not seen the result that you're after. You know, entire faith communities have prayed for outcomes that didn't happen. And we've prayed in faith, and we've prayed persistently, and yet for some reason the prayer has not been answered, at least not yet. And we think of somebody who's suffering or someone who's got a debilitating illness, and does it mean it's just not God's will to relieve someone of suffering? And if we're looking at this and we just pick this one verse and we want to rest everything on this one verse without looking at everything around it, it's easy to say, well, man, now I start to question God. And that's dangerous territory. You know, and it doesn't mean that we can never ask God questions. The Psalms and the Old Testament are full of God, how long or why? Paul asked God to remove the thorn from his flesh. Three times he asked him, right? Over and over. And eventually, though, God answered him. He says, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. But if we just look at one verse, and we don't see that verse happening, and we start to say, well, is God really good? Because if God was really good, wouldn't he want whoever that we're praying for to be healed? Surely that's not selfish to want a loved one to be healed, right? But that's what Jesus said. He said, everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. So the one who knocks, it's going to be opened. And so what I want to do today is just unpack these verses a little bit and look at them in the whole counsel of God. Maybe get some insight into the mind of God and how he sees our prayers. Learn a little bit about what God wants to see in our prayers. He wants to see coming from us. We're going to see situations maybe where God won't answer our prayers. And get some insight about how God's ways are so far above our ways, right? Isaiah, God's ways are higher than our ways. We can't even begin to see what the best outcome might be. I think what we're going to do, hopefully, is I pray that we're going to get a pretty good look at the heart of God towards his people here. And the first thing I want us to see is God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you, but you need to seek after him. And I love in this it's ask, seek, and knock. And if you look at it and you can see how the first letters of that even actually spell out ask. And I'm not reading anything into that isn't there. It's just, I think it's just kind of cool. And obviously, this wasn't originally written in English, right? But it just encourages me that yeah, God wants us to talk to him. He wants us to ask. And the first two verses that we see here that we've already looked at, they're in the present imperative tense. It means that we need to keep on asking. Carolyn's version that she read, the children's version, says, if you continue to ask, I believe is one of the words that were there. And that's really a good, the way the tenses are, it's we need to keep on asking. We need to keep on seeking. We need to keep on knocking. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told his parable to his followers about how they should pray and not give up. And in this story, it says there's a widow. And this widow, now women didn't have any social standing in that first century. And because she was a widow, she would have had even less. And someone is messing with her. And Jesus said the judge in her district didn't fear God or respect men. And so in the judge's eyes, this widow is probably just about a step above having a tooth extracted. And in fact, she was going to make herself just as bothersome to him as a bad tooth, because she goes to this judge concerning her enemy. And she goes again and again and again and again. And finally, the judge is just like, man, this old woman is wearing me out. I don't give a rip about what she wants or who she is, but I'm going to give her justice just so she'll leave me alone. Now, Jesus argues from the lesser to the greater. And so when he's saying basically, if that's how a wicked man acts, think about how your good God will act. He will give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night. We don't compare God to the wicked judge. That's not the point of this. The point is that since God is greater and God is good, he will reward that persistent prayer warrior. But we need to be persistent and we need to be patient. We keep on asking, we keep on seeking, we keep on knocking. He wants to bless you. I want to break down this progression a little bit. The first one is ask. Notice it doesn't say demand. Okay, we can't manipulate God into answering our prayers. We can't coerce him. We can't demand from him. We come to him in humility and we ask. But if God is omniscient, doesn't he already know what we need? I mean, if he already knows what we need, why do we need to? You know, it reminds me of a little story of this little old lady, and she would come out every morning on the steps of her porch and raise her arms to the sky and go, "Praise the Lord!" And one day, an atheist moved in next door. And, boy, that got old to him real fast. And so she would come out on the porch and she'd go, praise the Lord. And he would come out on his porch and say, there is no God. Every day that would happen over and over. And she would come out and say, praise the Lord. And he'd say, there is no God. And one morning in the middle of winter, this old lady come out on her porch and she says, raised her hand, says, praise the Lord. Lord, I have no food. I'm hungry. Please provide for me, O Lord. Well, the next morning she stepped out on her porch and there were two huge bags of groceries sitting there. And she says, praise the Lord. She cried out, God has provided groceries for me. And the man, the atheist neighbor, he was waiting in the hedges. And he jumps out of the hedges and says, God didn't do that. I put those groceries there. And she says, praise the Lord. God provided for me groceries and he made the devil pay for it. You know, when we're asking God, I don't think it's so much about what we need. I think it's about our pursuit. It's about our pursuit. We need to ask. We need to pursue God. God's not our heavenly vending machine. But we need to ask and we need to seek. God wants us to pursue him. And yes, he knows what we need already, but it's in the asking that we see God's faithfulness. It's in the asking that we see the mind of God. It's in the asking that we learn lessons we never would have learned had we not prayed. And sometimes it's in the asking that we get corrected and disciplined. And even so, our prayers have to be more than just asking, but it's a conversation. It's where we praise the Lord, where we confess our sins and listen for the Holy Spirit's leading. And finally, then yes, we ask. And so we take the next step in intensity. We go from asking to seeking. You know, several weeks ago, we're in Matthew 6, and we hit 6:33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And so we're to seek God. We're to seek righteousness by God's standards. And so we begin to up the intensity. We don't just sit on our hind ends and ask. We get up to go seek. You know, in Luke 15, there's the parable of the lost coin, and the woman has to diligently sweep the house as she what? As she seeks for the coin. When she finds it, she rejoices. Have you ever lost your keys? Yeah, what do? Maybe as a last resort, you actually pray. Lord, help me find my keys. Then you just sit there and wait for them to magically appear on the counter, right? No. You've prayed that God will help you find your keys. Then you go look for them. And you seek. And it's in the seeking that God will answer that prayer. Now let me show you how important seeking God is. King Rehoboam, he was the first king of Judah after Solomon died and the kingdom was split in north and the south. And he wasn't a very good king. He turned his back on God, and the Bible in 2 Chronicles says that he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. You ever think of not seeking God as being evil? What the Bible says. Jeremiah 29 says that all who seek God will find him if they seek with all their hearts. Now there's a level of intensity that comes after the seeking, and that is knocking. It says, knock and the door will be open. Now Luke 11 is a parallel passage to Matthew 6 and 7 here, and Luke kind of mashes together this ask, seek, and knock with the Lord's Prayer. We did the Lord's Prayer a few weeks ago. In between, Jesus gives another parable. He says, well, what if a friend shows up at midnight and you have nothing to offer him? Now, in that first century Near East culture, that was a major faux pas. You were hospitable, if anything. And so a friend shows up at midnight, you better have something to feed him. You've got nothing. You go to your neighbor's house. Now, it's midnight. What do you have to do? You got to knock, don't you? And Jesus tells this story of, you know, you're knocking at the door and the neighbor's like, go away. Like, the kids are in bed, I'm in bed. And he says, but you keep knocking. And pretty soon he gets up and gives you the bread. Because of your boldness. It is that you have the audacity at midnight to keep knocking. And so we keep asking. And then we get up and we put it to action. And we begin to seek. And we add boldness to that. Put that into our prayers. God wants us to do that. You know, New King James Version puts Hebrews 4:16 like this, that we should come boldly before the throne of grace. that we can obtain mercy and find grace and help, what, in the time of need. God loves you, and he wants to bless you. And he's given you a part in this. That is asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, God wants to bless you, but you also need to be in the right position to receive blessings. Now, what do I mean by being in the right position? Well, there are certain things we do that can hinder our prayers. And there are certain things we can do that will help our prayers. First off, I think we just need to be God's child for him to hear our prayers. And I don't mean in the sense that everybody's God's child. I mean born again, God's children. And you look at several Bible verses that talk about God not hearing our prayers. You look at Isaiah 59. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face so that he does not hear. Psalm 66, 18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So if we're harboring sin, God has that prerogative not to listen to the prayers we're throwing up. If we're just protecting it and harboring it and trying to grow that sin in our hearts. Proverbs 28, 9 says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. You kind of get the idea that there are times God doesn't have to hear our prayers just because we're throwing them up to the sky. 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, there are a lot of folks, Bible says, that in the last day they're going to say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, I didn't know you. I never knew you. Do you think that God answers their prayers? Because if they're saying, Lord, Lord, they're probably throwing prayers up to the sky. Now, God can answer any prayer he wants. But there's nothing in Scripture that tells us God has to listen to the prayers of unbelievers. The unbeliever's prayer, I believe that God will always hear, is when he prays to receive Jesus as Lord. But other than that, God is not under any compulsion to have to hear those prayers. But there are also some reasons that as believers, God may not answer our prayers. James 4 says that we have not because we ask not. But then when we ask with wrong motives. So we need to make sure our motivation's right and our heart's right. And it's not a selfish prayer, a greedy prayer. James 1 says if we ask and doubt, that we shouldn't assume we're going to receive anything. So we need to pray in faith. 1 Peter 3 says that when husbands don't treat their wives right, their prayers are going to be hindered. Men, I need to look in a mirror as well for that one. And Jesus uses a child-parent relationship to further explain prayer. And it's important, you know, it is important that we're in the right place spiritually and morally for God to be disposed to want to answer our prayers. Jesus continues in Matthew, he says, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? And again, we're arguing from the lesser to the greater. If parents, who all possess a sin nature, want to give good things to their children, how much more does God, who is perfect, want to give good things to his kids when they ask? And using this child-parent relationship, it can give us some insight into why God might not answer some of our prayers. You know, we're called as children, and a lot of times God has to treat us like children. How often do your children ask for something that is completely selfish? How often do your children ask for you for something that you know, either short-term or long-term, will be harmful to them? How often do your children ask you for something, and when you say no, they try to make it happen on their own anyway? And how many times have you had to say no to your children because you know there's something better you have planned? And how often do you have to say no because they need to learn a lesson or they are under discipline? And in the long run, the saying no will make them more mature. And if your child is mature and wise and unselfish in what they ask you for, you are just jumping at the prospect of saying yes 1,000 times. Yes, you want to do good things for your kids. How much more God for us? And you know, there are some things that we would love to do for our kids that we are powerless to do. But God can grant anything He wishes. He does not have a power problem. And so you kind of put this, and if you got little kids at home, because God has some good reasons to say no. You know, Mama, can I have a cookie? Just put this, you know, Mama, can I have a cookie? I told you no 30 minutes ago that you couldn't. Why did you ask again? You know, if God's already told us no, and we've got a clear no, then we need to move our prayers to something else. If we know that it will specifically violate God's will, if we can read in here that God's already told us no, then don't ask. Right? God, can you find me a different husband? I don't like the one I have right now. Well, what's the Bible say? You know, Mama, can I have a cookie? Well, you snuck a cookie yesterday. And so you're disciplined today as you get no cookies. And the child thinks this is cruel and unfair and my mama doesn't love me anymore. But Mom knows that there's a lesson that needs to be learned. Mama, can I have a cookie? Well, it's an hour before supper. And as much as I love you and would want you to enjoy a cookie, now is not the right time. I think sometimes God has to tell us that. I want to do something for you, but it's not the right time. But maybe after supper. Mama, can I have a cookie? Yes. I would love to give you a cookie. I'm going to give you 2 cookies. And so there's a time that's right that God's going to answer these prayers. Now the child's going to grow up. It's going to get older. Daddy, can I have a car? Here, have a cookie. But what if Dad says, I'm not going to give you a car. I'm going to give you a job so you can earn money to buy a car. Or I'm not even going to give you the job. I'm going to teach you skills and a work ethic so you can get a job, so you can succeed at your job, and you can afford a car and be responsible enough to take care of it. And that teen might say, no, just give me the car. But what Dad's going to do, is he going to do it his way or is he going to do it the teenager's way? We've got to realize that God's love is unconditional. But His blessings can be very conditional because He knows so much more than we do. He knows our future before, He's seen our future before we even know what's happening. And He knows what's going to be best for us. And so if prayers are not being answered, God may have a better plan. I read this week, and I didn't really have a chance to just really dig in and see if it was right, but it said that if God says no, it's because He always has something better. He'll always answer your prayer or answer with something better. I don't know. The no is probably long run, it is better because God knows what's going on, and God loves us so much. And so God may be saying no for many reasons. And even in those miracles, those healings that we've been praying for that don't occur, we have no idea what God sees that would be the result of that healing. We run into problems, see, when we try to use human reasoning to figure out God's mind. And so we just need to take what He's given us in His Word and trust in the rest. And here's the final point, is God wants to bless you, but don't limit what God can do by thinking in worldly terms. He says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? I love that. How much more? You think about God in that aspect. How much more can God give that I would ever ask for? You can't wrap your mind around how much more God can do. You know, I have gotten no from God when I've prayed. I have gotten wait, but I've gotten yes. I can testify that I have gotten yes from God, and I have gotten more. And in every situation, I have to trust that God did what is best for me, and He did what is best for those around me in whatever He gave or refused to give. We have to trust that God wants to bless us. And so we ask boldly. We ask in faith. We ask persistently. We ask patiently. And we keep asking. We keep seeking. We keep knocking. God wants to bless you. Now, I'm not talking about financially. Sometimes it works out that way. But you will be more blessed when you're just seeking His kingdom. And when you seek God Himself. When you lean in to God. And I want to revisit Luke 11 real quick as we close. In Luke 11, Jesus, again, He's also telling us to ask and to seek and to knock. And He does the fish, serpent, bread, rock thing with the parent, the father, and the son. And then He says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? In Luke's recording of this, Jesus just hones that into the Holy Spirit. Have you been praying for the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you been praying that the Holy Spirit will fill you? This is just a hunch. But if you pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you daily and you listen to Him speak to your heart every day, your prayers are going to start to line up with God's will and your faith is going to grow. And when you pray in faith according to God's will, it will be given. And you're going to find what you're seeking. And the doors that you're wanting to open, they're going to be open. God wants to bless you. And I want to encourage you to pray some big prayers. I want to encourage you to pray some bold prayers. Pray some audacious prayers. All right? Not selfish. No, not selfish, but big. Ask God to move in a big way in your life. Ask Him to move in a big way in this church and in your family. Because see, no matter how big your prayers are, God is bigger. A couple of verses to close with here. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. To Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. We can't even think of things that God can't outdo our thoughts. According to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God can do so much more than we can even ask. And no matter what the answer is, if it's not the answer we want, God's probably got something better. No matter what the answer is, God is on your side. Okay? He loves you. He will always love you. He will always have your eternal best interest in mind. So what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not be with Him? Will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? So get your heart and your mind lined up with God. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and see the wonderful ways that God can move in your life. Back up just a little bit. If you're here today and you fall into that category of unbeliever I talked about, that says that God may not be hearing your prayers. My encouragement for you today is to pray the prayer that God will hear. That you want Him to be your Lord. That you want to die to yourself and serve a risen Savior. That opportunity is there. It's not just now, but anytime. And we can talk about this afterwards. You can call me in the middle of the week and we can have that conversation about what you need to do. If you don't know Jesus right now, to know Him and to know that you'll be with Him forever. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we come to You this morning. We just give You glory and praise for the power that You have put at our disposal. Lord, give us wisdom. As we ask and seek and as we knock on doors, give us wisdom. Lord, let us do this in a way that will please You. And Lord, we do. We have people we love, people we've prayed for, and we continue to pray for them and lift them up to You and pray that You will work in this powerful, bold, audacious way that You've given us, that You will do some miracles, that You will heal where healing is needed, that You will provide where provision is needed. But Lord, we want this to happen so Your glory can shine through and so we can just be a better witness for You. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.